Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
You know, we have the big Veep debate tomorrow. Scott Jennings going to join us with a preview. Here's what he said on CNN last night about Tim Walz.
Walz is a buffoon. He's had one consequential press interaction with our Dana Bash, who asked him about the fabrications in his own resume. And his answer was essentially, you know, me no understand words good. I mean, he's a buffoon. He's on a free ride,
Scott,
for running under Harris. He gets very little press. They don't let him talk to the press for a reason.
I love it when they, was that Dana? Scott, don't say mean things about Tim Walz, but he will join us tomorrow afternoon with his take. And I'm pretty sure that he, as a loyal Cardinals fan, is going to have something to say about everything that happened today at Busch Stadium, which is, if you're just joining us, nothing really happened. It was basically, hey, we're pressing forward. We're going to get more. What was Bill DeWitt's line about that? We need more fan engagement days.
Yes, that's it, or the interaction.
Yeah, I don't know. All we know is that we're not seeing the future so bright here, but we'll have time. It's going to be a process.
Yeah, we're not going to have better players, but your experience will be good.
Right, by the next presidential race, though, think about that. That's what's rather sad. That's kind of what we're talking about here, because this isn't going to be a 1 or 2 year thing. So think forward to 2028 when we are having another presidential. That's just sad. I can't even believe I said that. Hey, Susan Crabtree is with us this afternoon. She writes for Real Clear Politics, wrote a piece that certainly interested me in the aftermath of all this examination of the Secret Service. And one of the questions we had from the very beginning in Butler was, wait a second, what happened to drones and what was going on with some of the lack of attention with drones? Susan, welcome to the program here on 97.1 FM Talk, if I can get the intro out to you. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
I was thinking about something, though, related to your name, because you've been out there writing about politics for a long time. I don't believe, and this is a premier political talk show in this country, the great United States of America. I don't believe you've ever been a guest on the show. That might be to your benefit, Susan. You might have been avoiding us, but I'm a fan, and I know your work, so thanks for coming on here on this evening in St. Louis.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I really appreciate it. It's disconcerting how much failure we've had in just 2 months on display with the Secret Service.
It really is. You know, and some of this is really, I've addressed it in this way, it's kind of hard to get people to dial into this because, you know, even last week when some of this was being revealed, our Senator Josh Hawley's done a great job of exposing some of it via whistleblowers, but then you have a hurricane that moves in and people's attention is, pulled in so many different directions. But this, as you would agree, I think, really deserves a lot of attention and some more answers to questions.
That's right, because it's about our continuity of our government and our ability as citizens to participate in democracy as we see fit. If we want to go to a rally, we shouldn't be worried about our personal security or the former president or any candidate for that matter. So it's really fundamental to our democracy, and I'm deeply concerned about what I have learned in the wake of this assassination attempt, these two assassination attempts. I have been covering the Secret Service for 12 years, and so there's been multiple failures, and Congress has not consistently held their feet to the fire, and I feel like that's one of the reasons where we are where we are today. The issue about drones is one that goes back to 2016. From my sources are telling me there's been resistance within the Secret Service to use to expand their aerial drone program. They have a very limited one. I can't go into too many technical details about that that give away some of the vulnerabilities, but very limited aerial drones, and they do have a drone counter-drone system that they operate to combat drones that could be flying over for surveillance, but it wasn't working the day of the Butler rally when Thomas Crooks had his own, the shooter, had his own drone up in the air. Hours beforehand, the Secret Service had a drone mitigation counter-drone system, but they were on the phone with tech support.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
my
can believe
gosh.
That.
That's what we heard
Four
last
hours.
Week. That's unbelievable.
That's right.
It really is. Yeah, that was one of those details that just sort of jumps out at you. Now, when Butler first happened, I remember having a conversation with my friend Paul Morrow, who's over at Fox, and one of the things that I thought he said was, well, not everyone, because he's a former president, that they don't use this drone technology for everyone, that they do for POTUS. Is there a way to at this point, tell if that's actually true, or is this just a broader failure on the part of the Secret Service to not use technology, which it certainly seems like?
Well, I guess I can go into some of it. They don't use a lot of aerial drones, period. They use tethered drones at permanent sites, but they are trying, like Camp David in the White House, but they do have a counter-drone program that they do use for POTUS, and they were trying to use it for Trump that day, not at the golf course. So they actually, if you can believe this, borrowed a drone from local law enforcement after Ryan Ruth, after the episode, to see if there were any other assailants, would-be assailants in the woods. That is seriously problematic in my estimation because we already had a known Iranian threat. There is a video that is circulating from 2022 that appeared on the Ayatollah Khomeini's website depicting an animated version, so a fake version, but depicted an assassination attempt against, or a successful assassination of former President Trump on a golf course near Mar-a-Lago. So with a drone.
Right.
This time it was a robot drone. It wasn't a flying drone. But that's been out there since 2022. National security officials have known about that. They've known of the Secret Service. Everybody on the national security in intelligence has known about this Iranian threat against Donald Trump since January 3rd, 2020. So certainly in light of the first assassination attempt, you would think that you would beef up security. But from what I understand, they couldn't get this aerial drone program up and running quickly. And they, of course, it has thermo capabilities so that you can detect. If you're using an aerial drone, you can depict a man in or anyone, any human being in a woods, in a wooded area.
Right, from
undercover.
The heat. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Correct.
You know, you had a stunning quote in here. Dan Bongino, who is he's a radio guy right now, he's a pundit, and he used to work for the Secret Service. And he says, I guess this is quite embarrassing and really serious. He says that agents ridicule the agency with the phrase, the Secret Service, yesterday's technology, tomorrow, which is kind of a funny line, but not so funny in the context of what we're talking about.
No, it's going to gallows humor. So actually, dating back to 2015, the Blue Ribbon Commission, there was a Blue Ribbon Commission that did a 400-plus word page report making recommendations, and one of them hit the Secret Service for using outdated technology. So this has been a problem for years, and so we are seeing it on display now, how important it is to have cutting-edge technology there. The military certainly uses drones. The local law enforcement obviously uses drones now. The drones that the Secret Service would use, and that I understand they're fast-tracking their drone program now, their aerial drone program, so that they can have that capability. I'm hoping they have that capability in Butler this weekend, because you know Donald Trump is going back to the scene of the crime, literally, and he is doing it in defiance of this threat against him to say, you know, I'm going to live my life and I'm going to have these types of rallies the way that I want to hold them. They're fast-tracking the drone capability, so I'm hoping they have every capability they can. But when you're looking at what happened at the golf course, they also did not do, they said that they want to rely on human power, but they also didn't sweep the outside perimeter. So even though they were blaming that on this OTR off the record, that it was sort of a, you know, off the cuff event, that they just kind of go on the fly. But everyone, including Ryan Ruth, we understand, the would-be assailant, the would-be assassin that got within 90 yards of Donald Trump that day, they know that he golfs there. You know, it's a regular thing. So you lose the element of surprise of a normal off-the-record where, you know, a candidate just goes to a restaurant like the one that J.D. Vance did over the week. I think it was late last week, where the restaurant owner said, no, we don't really want you here. Those are more normal off-the-record events where you can kind of, like, you're doing it on the fly.
Yeah, right. It wouldn't have been, you know, obviously now we know that it wouldn't have been too hard to kind of track or at least to take some guess at when Trump would be golfing. And if you're somebody who plays on that course, it would make it even easier. Susan Crabtree is here from Real Clear Politics. One of the other stories that you tell, this gets a little bit into the weeds here, but I want you to explain who Rashid Ellis is and how he is someone that maybe could have provided some information that would have been beneficial here, but that did not happen.
This is what I look at as a case study of sort of the culture of corruption at the Secret Service. It's a sad situation that you have leaders at the Secret Service who have engaged in retaliation against individuals, people that are trying to just do their jobs better and have the Secret Service implement a drone program. So Rashid Ellis is a special agent. He went to the Citadel. He was a member of the Presidential Protective Team, which is the most prestigious team to be on. So he has been covering Joe Biden and his family, and they wanted to switch him to provide protection for Kamala Harris. And he said, no, actually, I would like to do this hard-to-staff assignment. They have officially marked it hard-to-staff. That is in the airspace program under Special Operations Division that deals with drones. In fact, I really think I have an aptitude from this from years of experience prior to his joining the Secret Service, and I would really like to help expand our drone program. This is in 2021, according to his lawsuit against the Secret Service that he was retaliated against unfairly. And he, instead of allowing him to do that, they wanted him to go to Harris's staff, and he appealed the decision, and they didn't like the fact that he was appealing, so they wrongfully accused him of being an alcoholic when he was a teetotaler, and they put him on what would have been a 9-month administrative leave to go through a rehab alcohol program. And the people, the doctor herself, if you look at the lawsuit, knew that he was a teetotaler, and that he obviously often was a designated driver for others.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
And the doctor said this is ridiculous and intervened, according to the lawsuit. His lawsuit is all public information and is linked in my story. So they reversed themselves after 11 days, and then they tried to cover their tracks.
But, I mean, that is a new level of sinister,
jeez,
isn't it?
It's just malicious behavior, but it's not unheard of. They put other people, they've revoked their security clearances. I talked to Sean Bigley, who has helped defend these Secret Service agents for years. They weaponized the security clearance process, just like we've seen in other national security staff, Adam Levenger on the Trump White House National Security Council. They've done this to several people.
Explain what that means. So, you know, his quote in your story is like the biggest eye opener was the weaponization of the seemingly mundane processes like security clearances and freedom of information. What does that mean exactly? So how was it weaponized that way?
So if you're, say, this individual, a former individual that he helped defend and got the biggest single settlement from the Secret Service in history, this person was put on, his name is Steve McQueen. And he was a whistleblower within the Secret Service and accused his supervisors of some misbehavior. And they retaliated against him and took away his security clearance and put him on unpaid leave for 3 years. meaning he couldn't get another job because his security clearance in his profession, any national security related profession, because his security clearance was revoked and
wow.
the investigation was continuing. They were just trying to bleed him dry. And finally, the Department of Homeland Security and Office of Inspector General found in his favor that his that the supervisors had engaged in misbehavior that he complained about. So he was proven right, and they finally reinstated him and settled his case.
Yeah, that. Well, I mean, so what we're looking at here, to me, is you know we've had a couple of hearings focusing on Butler, and then obviously what happened in Florida. But it sounds like you know one person who should be asked a bunch more questions is Kimberly Cheadle, who resigned, of course. But it seems like a lot of what you wrote about and some of these things that have happened in the past, you know, 4 to 8 years, happened under her supervision and leadership. You would think that she would be called in to answer some questions here, at least some more questions.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm sure she is lawyered up, no doubt,
yeah.
because there are a lot of Secret Service agents that had talked to the Senate Committee, Homeland Security Committee, and that they have done an outstanding job. The Homeland Security Committee, if you read their report, you will find new information. They have transcribed interviews that they released, and it's just amazing. I haven't been able to put out everything I want to from that report because there's so many nuggets in that Senate report and the transcribed interviews. They did ask him some questions about my reporting specifically. So it's just, it's mind-boggling, but it's not unheard of.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, Susan, stay on top of it. Thank you so much for coming on here tonight and explaining this, and we'll see where it takes us for sure.
Thanks so much
right.
for having me.
I appreciate it. That's Susan Crabtree writing about this. You know, her piece is really detailed and gets into some of the things with Mr. Ellis that we talked about. Because you ask yourself, well, how could someone get kind of tossed into rehab or, you know, something along those lines if he doesn't have a drinking problem? So she highlights this conversation that took place with Mr. Ellis. It was an 18-minute phone conversation, and it's described as a friendly and helpful call, but Ellis, the guy, you know, that's the Secret Service say, he says that the entire process that he was going through was driving him to drink, using the vernacular
right.
expression indicating frustration, right? So when the official then asked and responded him if he had a problem with alcohol, Ellis quickly asserted that he was joking when he made the statement and that he was a very light drinker. The conversation was recorded on Ellis's home security camera system. So this Watson person seizes on the drinking comment, writes a memo. She sends it to Yarwood, another leader in the Secret Service. They corroborate with lawyers in the legal division. They forward it to Kimberly Cheadle. Kimberly Cheadle at that point is serving as an assistant director of protective operations. In the memo, Yarwood recommends taking Ellis's gun badge and putting him on a fit-for-duty evaluation and a 9-month alcohol problem. The next day, Yarwood emails the legal division and one of Ellis's top bosses, who was then Deputy Assistant Director Michael Platty. She was notifying him that Cheadle wanted to place Ellis on administrative leave pending a fit-for-duty evaluation. And this thing goes on and on and on. That is crazy. Now, again, this is all in a lawsuit, right? And seemingly, according to Susan's reporting and some other things here, I think he's probably going to win his lawsuit because he's got the goods. He's got the receipts on the Secret Service. But that's rather stunning. You know, I guess in a lot of our minds, you would think, Sue, a president, a former president, a vice president, whoever might be protected by the Secret Service, they're coming to your community. And, you know, just kind of think in your mind what you think the, you know, the operational center, or whatever they would call that, be. You'd think it would be pretty high tech, right? There's drones.
Yes.
There's someone.
Yes.
It would almost look like a Monday Night Football, you know, type of situation where you have producers and directors and people checking this and checking that. I think in the American taxpayers' minds,
that's
sort of what we envision, yeah. Right? But that is the furthest thing from the truth as we're finding out. So I think the questions about the Secret Service, here's what I'd like. They should not go away. Those questions should intensify. And I do think Senator Hawley's on top of this stuff right now. And you would hope that no matter what happens with the presidential election, they don't let this go into the new year. Because again, and I was encouraged by, you know, Chris Coons and other Democrats on these committees that actually played pretty hardball with the Secret Service, saying this is not acceptable. So we'll see where it takes us. 525, we're going to talk about the opposition to the gambling, the sports wagering, Amendment 2 in Missouri. That's coming up.
Mark Reardon on St. Louis's home for conservative talk.
You know, I think every year at this time, I hold out hope that Saturday Night Live is going to be funny, and then it's not funny. However, ladies and gentlemen, Sue Thomas is lobbying me hard because, and I did not know this, I knew that Maya Rudolph was coming back to play Kamala Harris, but Dana Carvey, who, let's face it, did the best George W. Bush ever, now I'm going to do it. He is Joe Biden, and I just watched a clip, and we're going to have to feature some of this for Audio Cut of the Day. It was pretty good. It was pretty funny what I saw. Now, here's Kamala, or Maya.
Whatever swing state I'm in, which I will just refer to as Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia. Because I am going to protect your Georgia.
The thing is that are they making fun of her just for the way she talks, or are they actually going to get sharp here? Because when I saw the Dana Carvey stuff, and we'll highlight this here for Audio Cut of the Day, he was getting into some of the satirical topics that I think he should kind of cover with Biden. And one of the questions would be, what the hell took him so long? You waited till the last 3 months of this guy's in office to make fun of him and actually do any comedy. Now that he has dementia, then you make fun of him. So we'll keep an open mind on Saturday Night Live. We'll have some of those included in Audio Cut of the Day. We do have Mr. Scott Jennings. I just got a message from my friend Jeannie Sullivan of Pet Supplies Plus fame, and she said, oh, tell Jennings we're big fans, and they don't even watch CNN, and they've been kind of tuning in every once in a while. The Fox folks won't like that. And I assured her, oh, yeah, don't worry. I have forwarded your messages because he's got this growing fan club out there, but he's the only one keeping him straight on CNN. Here he is, a little preview here of Jennings ripping on Tim Walz before tomorrow.
Walz is a buffoon. He's had one consequential press interaction with our Dana Bash, who asked him about the fabrications in his own resume, and his answer was essentially, you know, me no understand words good. I mean, he's a buffoon. he's on a free ride.
Scott.
Dana's trying to scold Scott. I played that one earlier. Last week we covered, you know, this actually came up in a lunch that I had today with some friends, just talking about this gambling amendment, what the truth is here about the tax money. And I said, well, I will bring that up with my guest. Brooke Foster is with us. She is with the group Missourians Against Deceptive Online Gambling. I have taken a stand that I'm going to vote for this thing because I'm a libertarian. I think we should have the freedom to do it, but I'll admit that there's some questions about the claims that are being made from the pro side. Brooke Foster, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
I'm great, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mentioned, you know, I had lunch today with some friends of mine. We were just kind of talking some Mizzou and sports, and they asked me what I thought about, you know, this particular amendment. And look, I'm a fan of sports wagering. So let me just start, you know, in the effort of full disclosure, I want this to pass because I'm a libertarian freedom guy, and I want to be able to do this in Missouri, you know, and not have to cross the river to Illinois. On the other hand, what my friend asked was, well, wait a second, is this money really going to education? And one of the things that I told Jack Cardetti, who came on here to, you know, take the pro side of this, is I'm old enough to remember, Brooke, when a lot of this stuff was written about the, you know, the lottery decades ago with education. And I think a lot of Missouri taxpayers were in they felt let down by that because I think they felt misled, which I think is maybe what you're trying to prevent here. Did I have that right?
That's absolutely right, Mark. So what's interesting is, you know, our campaign, we're not opposed to sports betting, and we're not opposed to sports betting coming to Missouri. We're just opposed to the way that this measure does it, and it's for exactly the reason that you raised. is we feel like the language in the ballot measure is fairly vague and fairly disingenuous, and that the advertisements, especially the TV ads that are, you know, promising millions of dollars to education, you know, that literally does not add up because the online gambling corporations are able to take so many deductions before they pay their taxes to our state.
Yeah, let's give, because I wasn't exactly sure what that meant, but I've done a little research, and you probably know more about this than I do. But, you know, I guess maybe I would offer the example this way. A couple of years ago, I did a campaign here on this radio station for DraftKings and was promoting DraftKings in Illinois because they were in Illinois. And one of the things that DraftKings does, and I'm sure they'd do this if this became, you know, legal in Missouri, is they say, okay, we're going to give you this no-risk bet, and you can make, you know, this much money. It doesn't matter because we'll give you the $200. So they're kind of bonusing you as an incentive. Well, that's something that the casinos can actually use and take as a deduction when it comes to the whole math equation here, right?
That's exactly right. And that's what we're worried about. So, yeah, to your point, you know, DraftKings, FanDuel, these online gaming corporations, they can give out free play promotions like you just described to, you know, incentivize people to keep gambling. And that's absolutely legal. It's their right to do that. But they're also able to deduct all of those free play credits from their tax bill. So as you can imagine, Mark, if you're giving, you know, one person $200, it's one thing. But when you've got tens of thousands of players,
yeah, it adds up.
You know, they could, yeah, they could feasibly zero it out, and they can also write off their federal taxes. So, you know, education is kind of the last sort of point in the funnel getting any money.
So the estimates are from the pro side, what, about $36 million per district, something like that, 24 to 35 per district is the estimate. Is that accurate or not?
That I haven't seen that estimate. Are you saying 36,000 per district?
Well, maybe I was saying 36,000, but no, I was saying million. I thought I saw a figure that for most districts that this would actually be millions of dollars. But there again, you know, that's part of the confusion, because what they're saying is that we're only talking about $30 million a year for education,
right?
Not per district. So then you're talking about, this is where I get the figures wrong, then you might be talking about $36,000 per district, right? Which in the whole scheme of things, we got a lot of districts, but that does not seem like a lot of money.
It isn't. And so you're right. So the top, you know, according to the fiscal note, the absolute, the maximum the state auditor found was $28.9 million per year. And, you know, we did a little back of the napkin math on that. And even if, you know, the gambling corporations were to pay in that full 28.9, if you divide that by the, you know, number of pupils here in Missouri, that's about $30 per student. So, you know, I've got two kids in elementary school and SLPS, and I know that, you know, $30 per student's going to buy, you know, two packs of highlighters.
Yeah.
It's really, really a small amount, and that's the maximum mark.
Right.
That's
and I'm not, you know, look, I'm not in a position, I don't think any of us, to say, hey, we don't want that money. But it does seem to be a relative, when you're talking about the whole, you know, scope here of hundreds of millions of dollars. That's why, you know, one thing I will say this, Brooke, that one of the things that kind of caught me off guard was this whole thing that we just talked about with deducting some of the losses, because we know that the IRS allows you to do some of those things. I have a creative account, and I think that if you have an account and you're following the law, you should be able to do that. But, you know, to the point that you're making is, if DraftKings or another group gives someone $200 if they place a bet of $5 for more, whether they win or lose the major, well, then that money is exempt, right? And as long as they're less than 25% of the company's revenue that month, then those are not taxable. So then that throws the whole equation in Missouri off.
Absolutely. You know, and I know that they've been speaking about the 25% cap, but the issue with that is that the amount of money that's going to be brought in is astronomical. I mean, they're looking at between a $2 and $3 billion handle. So that would be, you know, 25%, they're going to get there. They're never going to get there, basically. So, I mean, it's just really, really unlikely. And there was a cap of 10% in Kansas. And in Kansas, this also worked out poorly. So, Mark, there was, when the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl in 2022, Kansans bet $194 million on the game, sports betting online, and the state of Kansas saw $1,300 from that. So from $194 million to $1,300. So that's what, you know, what these companies are doing. It's completely legal, you know, and sports gamblers enjoy it. We just don't think it's fair to make these promises about education. You know, we think if sports gambling is going to come to Missouri, and the surrounding states certainly do have it, we understand that. we just want it to be in a way that actually benefits Missourians and is not kind of packaged up with these creative lies about our students and our teachers. Yeah.
And I get that. And one of the things that's frustrating to me as someone who has been a critic literally for decades of the initiative petition process, that, you know, obviously the legislature tries to do something with that, they don't, but then this ends up going to the voters in a very convoluted way, which I'll come full circle here with my, you know, my friend who I had lunch with today is an attorney. He's a smart guy. He pays attention, but he was completely lost when it came to, you know, deciphering what was really true on this particular amendment. And that happens, if we're being honest, it happened on the marijuana initiative. It happens because of these complicated processes that, you know, end up getting to, unfortunately, amend the Constitution on these issues.
Absolutely. You know, and on its face, the initiative petition process seems, you know, very democratic. But you're right, you know, and your attorney friend is right. I mean, if even an attorney is kind of flummoxed by what this bill actually says, you know, I wouldn't blame the Missouri voter for not knowing either. And so that's why, you know, we have taken it on ourselves as a campaign to educate voters, you know, this is what the measure does, but this is what it doesn't do. And what it doesn't do is, you know, fund schools to any significant amount.
Well, that's my concern, and I think that's a lot of people's concern. And, you know, if you go back to, I don't know how much you follow this, Brooke, I know you've been involved in a lot of issues, but when you go to the, you know, the sales tax for roads that was on the ballot a few mm-hmm. years ago, I've been a proponent, told Mike Kehoe this. I've been a fan of, I'm even a fan of toll roads, but I wanted to vote for that particular issue. I think a lot of people might have, but they wound all these other issues in there, including whether or not there should be a tax on, you know, medals won at the Olympics for Missouri athletes. So all that kind of stuff confuses voters and it gets convoluted, and then they don't trust people and they don't trust lawmakers and they don't trust the process, which that's of great concern to me.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I think kind of the eroding of trust is an issue right now, you know, in general, you know, on the issue that you mentioned and also on this one. You know, I think that what we've heard from voters is they have kind of this tired cynicism about promises towards education because they've heard it before. They heard it with the lottery. They heard it with the casino amendment in 2008, you know, and they're hearing it again. And so I feel like people are becoming increasingly skeptical, and that's kind of not where we want to go as a voting public. But that's what happens when bills are written like this and advertised like this.
Brooke, thanks for the information here this afternoon. Missourians Against Deceptive Online Gambling. Obviously, you guys are being outspent. I don't even know what the number is, like 10 to 1 or something like that. But do you have a website where people can kind of cross-reference some of this stuff?
We do. It is noamendment2.com. And we're also on Facebook.
So yeah. No Amendment 2, not No On, but it's just noamendment2.com.
Noamendment2.com.
Mm-hmm. Brooke Foster, keep us posted. Thank you so much for coming on this afternoon.
Sure will.
All right, take care.
Great.
Thank you, Brooke. Well, you'll have to make your decision on this. I'm voting for it. Look, this will sound terrible. I don't care if one penny goes to education because I'm voting for a different reason. I do think that some of the reasons that they're offering to vote for it are deceptive. So if it fails, that's on the pro side for not being more honest. We got an audio cut of the day coming up. A little music for you, Sue. Because you like the Beatles, so here you go. That's Brandon Flowers and the Killers last night covering a little Beatles.
Pretty good.
And not the best sound quality. It's coming from the phone that's about 100 yards away, but I did want to toss that in for you because...
I like it.
It was good. They did a good cover. And, you know, I said this at the beginning of the show. I've always wanted more bands to do this, and I don't see a lot of bands doing what the Killers did last night, and I give them a lot of credit. It is... For lack of a better term, and I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, especially if kids in the car, it's ballsy to be a big name rock act and go out there and open with your biggest song, your biggest hit, Mr. Brightside. And that's exactly what they did last night. And Brandon Flowers, he did this speech, Sue. It was like he kind of came on stage, and I can't recite it, but it was essentially very confident, I will put it that way, where he said, look, you can have all the affirmations in the world and, you know, feel one way about yourself, but nobody else is going to know unless you put it out there.
Oh.
And he goes, and that's going to be a great rock show. I'm paraphrasing here, but man, they kicked into it with Mr. Brightside and they had that crowd from then on until the end of the show. So
Love
it was a great
it.
Evolution Festival. I think Steve Shankman and the team should be very proud of that. Before I get to cut of the day, let me just play this in your honor. And I will say I haven't watched the whole bit, but Sue's been working me a little hard here this afternoon on watching Dana Carvey do Joe Biden on SNL. And here's what it sounded like.
Folks, that's right. A lot of people forget I'm president, including me. But guess what? And by the way,
That's my favorite.
Yep.
I think I did a pretty good job.
It's got to say anyway.
More bills than any president in history. But folks, we still got work to do. No joke. I'm being serious right now. Come on. And guess what? And by the way.
He just has to say anyway.
Yep.
The rich don't pay their fair share.
Oh, yeah. He's got a whisper.
Yeah, pay their fair share. We got to build back better. The build back the better the bar, the better. Build back the better. Can't believe it's not butter.
Thank you, Tobias. Thank you so much.
You know, so why did it take 3.5 years to do that finally?
I wondered if it was the ratings or whether they just didn't put Kamala enough so they
I'll
could
tell you
focus
exactly
on
what it
Joe.
Was. No, because he's not running.
Yeah, exactly.
So now they
he's
can make
safe.
Fun of him. Yeah. They feel it's disrespectful to make fun of a Democrat president. We can make fun of all the Republican presidents. But Maya Rudolph did a pretty good job. You know, she sounds like Kamala and she looks like her. I will withhold judgment until I watch the entire bit to see how far they went with that. But I do have to do, that was part of what I could have wound into audio cut of the day, but we'll do this.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, I'd be remiss in my duties as a talk show host in St. Louis to not feature some stuff from the St. Louis Cardinals news conference. But I would also be remiss in my duties to say, look, it's baseball. It's a game, right? We'll all survive. I care about it deeply, and I want the Cardinals to be better. But we don't live in Asheville, North Carolina. And this is Esther Manmeyer, who is the mayor in Asheville, North Carolina. And much of North Carolina has been devastated by this earthquake, just completely devastated. We don't even know the degree of devastation at this point.
We are in need of everything, water, power, communications, you name it, food, resources for folks. It is a dire situation. We are still in an active crisis situation.
We have more than 100 deaths across three states, and I think those numbers are going to certainly grow in North Carolina and the western part of that state in particular. You're talking about Appalachia. Look, I suggested this. I don't think it's going to happen. If I'm the Trump campaign, and I'm J.D. Vance in particular, I cancel the Veep debate.
Yes.
I say, look, this is more important. I'm going to go see what I can do to help the people of North Carolina. And I'm not just saying that from a, it would be a brilliant political move.
It would, but
how about do it because it's the right thing
exactly.
to do. So we'll see. Second part of audio cut of the day. Bill DeWitt III.
We've always prided ourselves on drafting and developing our own players. And it's clear that we need to make significant changes to get back to this model. Our baseball decisions going forward will focus on developing our pipeline of players, giving our young core every opportunity to succeed at the major league level.
Some people were calling for the head of John Mozeliak, even Ben Hockman, who wrote a column in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch yesterday. He's not going anywhere, at least for a year. He's going to lead the transition with Chaim Bloom, someone they hired last year in the offseason. Here's Mo.
I think this partnership and this relationship over the next 12 months, albeit might make a few of you unhappy, but I'm certainly willing to do the walk because I feel like we're going to position ourselves really well. And ultimately, when you think about your own legacy and how you want to leave something, I'm certainly hopeful that it'll be left in a really solid place when I do step down next year.
Now, Mr. Bloom has a good reputation from his time in Tampa, but then he goes to Boston and he's told to trade Mookie Betts and he does that. He comes to the Cardinals.
There's really a lot of different areas. That's what's exciting about this. There's so much opportunity for us to make positive change. I've heard over the course of the year, really good ideas come from within our organization. You know, I've got some ideas from my own experiences. We're going to have new ideas come into the organization and really figure out in all areas how we can make this as good as it can be.
Well, perhaps it'll be the expectation game because obviously the expectations were very high this year and we had a winning season, right? So you had a winning season. You didn't have a very much of a winning season last year. So maybe with expectations lower in the next couple of seasons, the Cardinals will move past those expectations. I think you can clearly say that the Milwaukee Brewers did that this season because they weren't being picked to last, certainly in the Central Division. But it's not going to happen quickly. It's going to be a bit of a painful transition, I think. But those are the announcements from Bush Stadium today and your audio cuts of the day. Enjoy your Monday night. We got two NFL games on tonight. We'll talk tomorrow at 3. Hang in there.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late.
late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.